Are we ready? Are we ready? 'Cause it's Thursday, yeah, yeah. Because it's Thursday, yeah, yeah. Because it's Thursday, yeah, yeah. Because it's Thursday, yeah, yeah.
Live and local with Monica J. On 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready to get right into this because we got some incredible things going on. A number of things to talk about today, but I'm going to direct most of them to, Washoe County School District. We got a lot of issues going on. It's not just Scott Kelly in the news. Also BLM and the students. So we're going to talk about that here on the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. And we're also going to do a little discussion about respect. Respect not only from individuals, but respect from other politicians. This all ties into voting. It all ties into what's going on in the school district. It all ties into what's going on here in Northern Nevada in general. And I know people laugh and say, well, you're one of the most disrespectful people out there. Always calling people names, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of my job, but I'm just telling you how I feel. I just want to give you some insight to what's going on. And if you think I'm the only one that calls Sisolak names, well, then you're not paying attention. So if you want to send in an email this morning, Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Talk and text will be open in a little bit. We've got an amazing interview today just after 10:30. We're going to be talking to Robert Fellner from NPRI. Nevada Policy Research Institute, on a story that he did giving a lot of insight into why we are still shut down and our judges, our court system, what's going on. I mean, I think we all thought that judges were supposed to be impartial. Doesn't really feel that way anymore. Also, today's poll question. We're going to be expanding on this because things have, things have changed overnight because it has been taken on as a big issue. So today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Should Washoe County School District Board of Trustees member Scott Kelly resigned from his position after being asked to by the president of the board? There's even a petition being circulated asking him to resign. Well, yesterday's poll question, I asked you to read the This Is Reno article that was put out from Bob Conrad. And Bob's still going to join us tomorrow during the show. But I didn't want to go into great detail because I wanted to find out more of what was going on. I mean, Scott and I have had interactions before, usually just, you know, texts and things like that. But I never really followed him, not on Facebook or anything like that. So every time I see something in an article, I try to think at least, well, an overused saying right now, but there's two sides to every coin. So I asked you yesterday, should the status of personal relationships on Facebook posts be brought to the public's attention for candidates running for any elected office or running for re-election as well? 14% said no. 86% said yes. Which I'm thinking, just in my own opinion, that this is more of the time we live in now. A couple of the responses, conservatives shouldn't be on Facebook and keep their personal lives personal. Yeah, I try to be a good conservative, but I'm all over Facebook and social media. Yes, public is just that. Public. People choose to put information out on social media, which is putting it out there into the public domain. So, what's the saying, or what's the rule? Anything you say or do can be used against you, not only in a court of law, but in a court of public opinion now. Many people use Facebook reviews to get insight into job applicants. If you're in a public position of trust, especially of children, then either watch what you say, watch what you post, or don't even have an account. But after reading the story, I think the situation is justified. He seems a bit volatile. That was somebody's comment. Facebook is a public forum. If you do not want the public to read about your laundry, do not publish it on Facebook. Facebook and Sucky Burger. Yeah, I think that's supposed to be a joke on his name, has about as much credibility as a 10-year-old crackhead in San Francisco. Yeah, because people post things on Facebook that's also not true. And people have a tendency to, I mean, somebody duplicated my page and, you know, they were putting all kinds of weird things on there, like I totally love and support Harry Reid, and we know that's the farthest thing from the truth. So, you know, there are people out there who just use social media as a, sorry, I have a sick dog behind me, so she's going to be a little bit grumpy today. But getting back to what I was saying, you know, this is just something that people use as a tool. For good and for bad. It's a tool. Let's see. Where are we going to go? Well, let's just jump into the Scott Kelly issue right now. I don't know what happens. So I've been looking at a few emails that have been sent to me, and everything that I look at, we're just going to be left up in the air. Because if he resigns, well, then what happens? We're right ahead of an election. Do we wait for the election? Is Jeff Church maybe just declared the winner now and put in the position? Can people lobby for Jeff to just be put in the position? We're going to hear from Jeff Church after 11 today, but here's the thing. That is an elected position. And it should be up to the vote of the people. Now, some are saying, okay, what if the election goes forward? I mean, his name has to stay on the ballot. The ballots are already done. So what if he wins re-election? I would say, in my mind, people aren't going to re-elect him. But that's just my thought. I could be totally wrong. I mean, how many times has Marion Barry been in office? I mean, he was convicted on drug abuse. So there's always that possibility. I mean, I've already been disgusted this morning by listening to Armstrong and Getty and hearing them say that, you know, Biden's almost got this in the bag. I mean, you know, it's for him to lose. I don't believe that. I think people see through the Democrats' plan wholeheartedly. But like I said, everybody's got their own opinions. So where do we go from here? If he doesn't resign, what does the board do? Do they vote him out? Do they just keep on waiting for the election? I'm concerned about them appointing someone and not appointing Jeff. I mean, Jeff worked it and made it through the primary. So what if they put someone in there and it messes up what the vote would have been between Kelly and Church? This is a complicated issue. But I'm glad it's come to light, because it's focusing a lot of things on the Washoe County School District right now. That's why I don't think that they would just appoint Jeff to the position, because, well, he's, you know, been a very vocal opponent of the Washoe County School Board and what's going on with all of the just incredible things that are being taught in our schools, going against parents, locking parents out. A lot of this is really coming to light now with online learning, because parents are seeing firsthand what the kids are doing and what the teachers are doing and not doing. Some of them, like law enforcement, though, have their hands tied. They have to follow certain rules. Well, what is one of those rules when it comes to BLM? I've seen in school districts, in textbooks all across the country, we saw it start with the library system outside of the school district, that ideas are being put out there to change the dynamic of the way we think and the way we feel. We saw it start here with the controversy over the drag queen story time. Well, now it's going on hot and heavy in Douglas County, because the the director of the library chose to show support and put it in their papers, I guess, that they support Black Lives Matter. Okay, well, anybody who truly knows Black Lives Matter is a Marxist communist organization. And the curriculum is being pushed into the school districts around the country to literally teach racism. They are teaching racism against Caucasians, against white people. And so now, here in the Washoe County School District, oh, by the way, if you were planning on attending the Douglas County counter-protest or rally to support the sheriff there and all law enforcement, the BLM protest has been canceled. And I'll tell you more about that in just a second. But they still are going to be in front of the legislative building. Okay, so there is a student now with the Washoe County School District, and she's not just doing this at her school. I mean, it's already in the news. Mia Albright is the student, and she's got a change.org petition. It's directed at Superintendent Kristen McNeil in the Washoe County School District. It reads in part, and I'm getting this from thisisreno.com, so another good article there. The district has an obligation to its 64,000 students to provide an anti-racist education. Well, it should be the district's responsibility to teach an anti-Marxist, anti-communist, pro-American curriculum. But they don't do that, and that's why we're in the situation that we're in. So Mia has obviously, I know she's a student, but she's obviously been indoctrinated. She wants to see demands presented in the petition include reverse the withholding of teachers from supporting Black Lives Matter on school campuses, commit to the implementation of anti-racist education, and more with the LGBTQ and all that history in both worldly and American contexts. Implementation of, do you really think this is coming from a student? Implementation of focus groups and ambassadorships with students, student representatives focused on racial equality within schools. And it goes on and on. You know, this is just basically our version of Greta Thunberg with the climate. You know, it's, I got to take a moment. Remember that I'm talking about someone who is a child, so I'm going to clean up my act being the adult. We'll be back after this break here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio. The original social media, KKFT.
It's the Monica J Show, and I love you. I love my listeners. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk covers a lot of area. Pretty much all of Northern Nevada. And boy, we go country or worldwide with the live streaming and the podcast. But Anna, I mentioned something this morning that you can actually hear one of my dogs in the background of my studio because she's a little bit ill. So Anna texted me real quick this morning. Must have been the Democrat dog that's sick. She stole too many treats. Actually, no, Anna, it's my elderly. She's 17 years old, and she has these weird infections in her ears. So basically, she's deaf, and she can't stop scratching her ears. And don't anybody start sending me stuff. She's been to multiple veterinarians. There's nothing that they can do for her. It's a condition that they'd have to literally cut off both of her ears. And I'm not going to do that to her. So she scratches them a lot. And when she does, she gets, you know, it's like when you have a mosquito bite and you just can't stop scratching. And that's when she starts making all those noises behind me. But it's funny that you said that, Anna, because she is my oldest dog. She's one of my rescues. The one who steals the treats and goes around to everybody else's and tries to, you know, get them is my puppy, is my baby. So there you have it. That is the perfect analogy of what's going on here, especially when it deals with racism, what's going on in our world. Because if you talk to people who actually lived through real racism, I'm talking about, you know, blacks in the back of the bus, whites and black only drinking fountains and restaurants and nightclubs. Those people today say there is no racism. We have overcome that. But it's the young ones who have been fed this pile of crap that are pushing it back out into the limelight because they have been brainwashed. So just like Mia is doing with the Washoe County School District, again, using emotions and not education. This is where our schools are teaching things that are reinterpreted history. We're in this situation because we don't teach the Constitution. We don't teach the Federalist Papers. We don't teach about the real Civil War, why these things happened, what happened around the Civil War. Like people from the Union who were black, who fought for the Union, who fought for their freedom were proud of what they were doing. History says no, they were forced into it. Some were, but not the majority. And it wasn't just about freedom from slavery. And slavery did not start here in this country. It was a common practice, a heinous practice, around the world for many, many centuries, hundreds of years. But people aren't taught that. The kids of today aren't taught that it was black people who were selling black people and putting them on the slave trade ships. We do have slavery right now, and that's what we should be focused on, not the BS of the BLM. We should be focused on human trafficking, sex trafficking, the drug trafficking. But no, this is another socialist agenda, communist agenda, that is being pushed to the forefront with our kids. Because people of a certain age group, black, white, brown, green, yellow, it doesn't matter, will tell you that this is the freest country in the nation, in the world. I guess our country is our nation. In the world. You're being brainwashed. And I really feel sorry for you. Because it just shows they've also taught you not to think for yourself. And that's a horrible thing. We'll be back with our guest from NPRI to talk about how the state of Nevada has been thrown under the bus through the courts when it comes to dealing with our illustrious Governor Cicilline. Right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live streaming at 99.1fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, KKFT 99.1.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today and, well, whatever time I can get from you any day. Just in case you miss any part of the show that you'd like to recap, we have our podcasts at 991fmtalk.com. And we also have our poll question there. How convenient. Should Washoe County School District Board of Trustees member Scott Kelly resign from his position after being asked to by the president of the board? So that's your question today, brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Also, yesterday's question, should the status of personal relationships and Facebook posts be brought to the public's attention for candidates running or running for re-election or being elected to office? 14% of those participating in the poll said no. 86% said yes. One good answer here, yes, public is just that, public. People choose to put information out on social media, which is putting it out there into the public domain. And since you are a public servant, I guess it all ties together. All right. We're all frustrated. We're going BS crazy. Bat S crazy. Even me. I mean, this whole lockup, not being able to go and do what you want to do, and Governor Sisolak deciding with his white glove, I guess, who gets to stay open and who has to close. Of course, we can open theaters now, but we can't go to a bar. We can go to a casino, but we can't go to a church. And there are still other businesses closed down as well and highly restricted. So what happens? We take it to the courts. Yeah, that's not working for us. So we have a very special guest today from NPRI, the Nevada Policy Research Institute. And when I saw this, just even the title of the article that Robert Fellner put out, I knew I had to get him on with us. Judge, citing requirement to serve as government advocate, upholds Sisolak shutdown order. Robert Fellner, thank you so much for joining to the show today. I really appreciate your time.
Of course, great to be here.
So what is happening with the judicial system right now, Robert? Because there are a lot of people who don't understand that we live under a United States Constitution that is supposed to be protecting our rights as individuals to earn a living. So how can they justify coming in and shutting down my business?
Right. Well, I mean, I would argue they can't. But to actually answer your question in as short amount of time as possible without boring your listeners, in the 1930s, the United States Supreme Court issued a series of rulings where they just basically abandoned their role and reinterpreted the Constitution in such a way that it's actually shocking. When I explain this to people who aren't even political, it just blows their mind. But that's what I reference in this article, where because of those decisions in the 1930s, where, believe it or not, they literally, and this is the legal landscape we live under today, according to Supreme Court precedent, they literally said certain rights aren't fundamental. You know, we're going to pick and choose. Free speech is fundamental, but property rights aren't. And there's just no basis for that. The Constitution says the exact opposite. The Constitution says, you know, we're going to list a bunch of rights here, and then just to make sure you guys don't do what you end up doing anyway, we're going to add an amendment that says, just a reminder, just because we listed a handful of rights here, the people still retain all the other rights not specifically listed, and there's nothing in this document that should be interpreted as a way to disparage the unenumerated rights, which means the rights that aren't listed. So that's what's going on, and literally the Supreme Court precedent, what they actually make, it's called rational basis test, and what that judge-made doctrine says is judges now have to assume any statute or regulation is constitutional and actually work to come up with possible scenarios that could justify it, even if it's not justifiable on these specific grounds. If I can imagine a world where it would be okay, then we uphold it. So it's really disappointing. It's the law.
Boy, that's more than disappointing. That's aggravating. How do people expect to be treated fairly? And, you know, you're living your life. And again, going back to a ruling in the 30s, I thought we just weren't paying attention now, but I guess we really haven't been paying attention to any of the things that they've passed. I recently came across a decision. Everybody knows about Roe versus Wade, but why don't people know about the Supreme Court decision that actually lets states and the government mandate vaccinations? So I have to look at this for our upcoming COVID vaccination that a lot of people are going to, you know, refuse. But we just don't pay attention to these things. Are we literally losing our rights even on the state level?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, there's no way to look at the history of either the country or the state and conclude anything other than we started out really free and we're less free today. You could debate how much less free, but there's just no honest assessment that can conclude we're more free than we were previously. And that's the nature of government, right? To grow. And that's the famous quote of, you know, we created a republic for you guys, but it's up to you to keep it, right? So the one bright spot or the one reason for optimism is, as as horrible as the United States Supreme Court decisions have been, and the current precedent is, the Nevada Constitution is stronger, and state level issues are still decided by the Nevada judiciary. So there, you know, that terrible decision from the Supreme Court, the Nevada courts can say, okay, that's well and good, and we're bound by that, and we can't invalidate these orders by Sisolak because they violate the U.S. Constitution, but we can because they violate the Nevada state constitution. So that's, you know, the kind of the point I make at the very end there, is that, you know, even though this Clark County District Court judge said, listen, I'm not even going to get into this, the U.S. Supreme Court has this precedent where I rubber stamp anything the government does, the Nevada State Supreme Court can still declare it unconstitutional. It obviously is, right? I mean, he just picked out bars and there's no science behind it. It's obviously unconstitutional. And so I would encourage people to pay much closer attention to the election for the state Supreme Court, because that, if you have good judges there, they can right the wrongs that have been done on the federal level legally.
Do you have any recommendation for people of how they can better track people who are running for these offices? Because here we are, we're going into an election that one of the offices up for grabs is a Supreme Court position. And yet people don't know the people who are running.
Yes, and that's a big problem, too, because the rules of conduct for judges basically prohibit them from really getting to specifics. So you have a couple of judges who will run, and all they really say is, I promise to be fair. So it is difficult to know.
Yeah.
Having said that, we don't endorse candidates. However, there is, and I include a link to it at the end of my article, a great interview between the two candidates for Supreme Court, Ozzie Fumo and Judge Douglas Herndon. And I would say everyone should go to that link, watch that debate between those two justices. You're going to get a clear picture of where they stand. And that, I think, is a really good place to start, because that election
is very important. Okay, is that the Seek the Judges?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay. All right. So I direct everybody to npri.org. Make sure you look at this article from Robert Fellner, and it's going to give you a really good indication of what we are up against now and why we have to protect the state of Nevada when the rest of the country could be falling around us. So, Robert, thank you so much for joining me today, and I really appreciate your time and what you do with NPRI. It's greatly appreciated.
Thanks so much.
Have an awesome day. Okay, bye-bye. And definitely having Robert back. But, you know, he doesn't support, or he can't recommend candidates, but I can. So if you're not voting for Judge Herndon, then you're not doing the state of Nevada any good. So I'm backing Judge Herndon, and most of the people I know are backing Judge Herndon. So speaking of elected officials, we have a travesty going on right now here in the state of Nevada because of AB4 and what Governor Sisolak, trying to keep it clean here, has done to this state. And what they're doing to a particular person, because she is getting it from both sides, hot and heavy. And I can tell you that no matter how many slings and arrows are tossed at the Secretary of State, Barbara Sagafsky, she is not the problem. So we have a former state senator, you know, going around now and saying that she should stand up to Sisolak. But you know what? Secretary of State Sagafsky's job, if you look at the job of Secretary of State, and it is really disappointing for what Heller is saying now, because he was Secretary of State. He should know better. He should be right there by Barbara's side rather than, you know, putting her on the defensive. So shame on that. But her job is to enforce the law. The Secretary of State's office was not brought in on AB4. The Republicans were not brought in on AB4. All of this is at the fault of Governor Sisolak. You are blaming and attacking the wrong person. And for the Republicans out there not to be supporting Barbara, because you know there is a lawsuit from the federal government. So it's not like she gets to go out and comment on all of this stuff. Not when you're in a lawsuit. Yet still being attacked. And I tell you, she is a lovely woman who loves this state, who loves her job and what she does. And really, everything from both sides is coming on to her. I mean, here Sisolak has now, he's done it to us again. Because Secretary of State Sagafsky made a great option for people to settle in a little bit easier with the ballot harvesting. And this was actually one of my ideas, too. I thought, why don't we do this? And that was to register the harvesters. If you want to register people for their parties, for them to vote, you have to be registered with the Secretary of State's office. Lobbyist, why would you not think that ballot harvesters, somebody holding one of your most important decisions, why wouldn't they have to be registered? Well, Governor Sisolak decided that they don't have to be. So if you're going to be angry with somebody, direct it at the people that actually deserve your anger. And that is not our Secretary of State. It is the governor of this state and the Democrats who vote for his junk legislation to steal an election. And I'll tell you what we can do about that, courtesy of Orrin Johnson, a very wonderful speaker I listened to last night. Yes, because be damned, this so-called scam virus, I go out and do things. We'll be back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station. 99.1 KKFT.
It's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. Talk and text lines at 884-9910. Let's check in with Derek this morning. Hi, Derek. You have a good reason? You have a good reason why our courts are the way they are?
Well, yeah. 1933, the U.S. government declared bankruptcy. So now everything is in receivership. So they're operating, the courts are operating under admiralty and equity law, not common law. That's why the courts are the way they are.
That's interesting. Okay, I've got to look into that for myself. Boy, all of this stuff coming back from the 1930s.
Yes, and it's all Freemasonry. It controls it all.
Okay, well, I'll look into that. But Derek, thanks for the call. I appreciate the history lesson. Another little history lesson for you here as we go forward is if you're going to stand up for your rights, you'd better do it now. Because as Derek had just mentioned, you know, this one in 1938, as Robert had mentioned, this decision in 1930. We have been so fixated on our lives that we do not pay attention to history. And one of the most important historical things that has been done are all the rules that the Supreme Court has. We keep trudging on Roe versus Wade. And that's not a decision that we should be just upending ourselves about. the fact that the United States government can actually write you out of existence from life by mandating and making vaccinations mandatory with this vaccination for COVID-19 that is coming. I mean, you should see some of the scary stuff that I delve into. And I'm actually going to, I don't know how we're going to do this. I think I'm just going to play it and I'm going to have to read the subtitles to you. But I have a letter from an Italian doctor. Unfortunately, he reads it in Italian, but there are subtitles. So I can play the Italian in the background and just read it to you. But I don't mean to scare you, but this is what you have to know, especially about this vaccination and why it changes your RNA. Because all of the vaccines that have been coming for all these different flus have been given to work with this one. And you're just going to get sicker and sicker and sicker. Unless you learn this now. We'll be back after this.